I didn't know at first when Marty started counting down 1, 2, 3, 4 if we was fixing to hear a little Sweet Home Alabama there for a second.
You didn't know I could count.
Well, Randolph County got you to 4, Marty. And then with Winston with his mandolin, I didn't know if we was going to hear Maggie May, Rod Stewart, or Bruce Hornsby in the range listen to the mandolin rain, right? No, y'all did a great job. Thank you so much. Thank you for the wonderful music we've been a part of this morning, and thank you for being a part of that and just giving God glory at this special, special time of year. James chapter 1, verse 17. I tell you, in 31 years as a pastor, so this will be my 32nd Christmas, I've never preached a Christmas message from the book of James. This is something the Lord really put on my heart this week and as leading up to Christmas and things that I've been working on and just thinking about the goodness and the grace of God and how he is, as my buddy Bruce Nichols says, always treats us better than we deserve. Amen. And I'm just grateful for that. And the book of James is one very practical book, one of my favorite books in the New Testament. So much about how when you become a believer, it ought to be evident, it ought to be visible. It's not just a vow you make, it's a visible covenant you make with God to shine the light of the gospel to the world, that beautiful star of Bethlehem would continue to shine on, amen, through me and you. I'm just grateful, and I want to take the word of God today, and I pray today you'll be helped. Don't you know, that's my goal every time, never to hurt you, only to help you. Help you to know God, and then help you after you know him, to love him and serve him with everything you got till he takes you home. Amen? James 1:17, if you found your place physically able, would you stand with me? Honor and reverence the reading of the word of God. And we're just going to read two verses of scripture today. Verse 17 and verse 18 of the book of James. Here's what the scripture says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd add the blessing, your blessing to the reading of your word today. And Father, as I prayed on my way to this platform, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be accepted on your side, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. I pray, God, you get glory, lives be changed, and we all live differently as a result of being under the influence of the gospel today. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Today, as I said, I'm speaking to you on the subject of God's greatest gifts. Now, Christmas time, we know, is a special time of giving. Special time where we give gifts to our family, friends, whoever it might be. We give those gifts, I pray, not out of necessity, not grudgingly, but lovingly. We do so many times sacrificially to make sure others know that we love them. We appreciate them, and we're grateful for the good grace that God has given us in order to be able to do that. We often think about special gifts that we have given over the years, and I'm sure we think of some special gifts we have received over the years. There's not a time of year that comes around at Christmas that I don't think about some special gifts. Now, I want you to know, you or your children, nobody remembers every gift. But there are some that are very special to you. Most of us, if you're my age and older, anywhere near, there's very few of us that have many things that are left from our childhood that are still intact. I'd like to think I still have all my Tonka trucks in pristine condition, but I want you to know they gave up the ghost a long time ago, right? I worry about this generation because they make them out of plastic. They're not going to last very long, right? You need the good, sturdy stuff. But I believe I've told you before, and I remind you again, I have one special gift that I've kept all these years. I received this gift on Christmas of either 1976 or 77. I want to say 77. I was probably about 6 years old. And it's still intact. It's still in the box. And as far as I know, it still works. Original box. I have in my basement my Lionel Black River Freight train set. was purchased brand new from Mr. Millard Mara up here at White's Auto for many years. Had the original price sticker on it for many years, and somehow or another it went away. But in 1977, that train set cost $49.95. Now, in 1977, if you received a gift that cost $49.95, that was a whole lot more money then than it is now, right? $50 won't get you much of anything anymore, but in those days, somebody had to work hard, sacrifice, in order for you to have a gift so special. $49.95. Now, a few years before Mr. Mara passed away, I had told him that I still had that train, it had the original sticker on it, and he said to me, "Boy, it'd be worth a whole lot more than that now." But you know, there are some things that, you know, don't matter what they're worth more to you than they are anybody else. So I'm planning, you know, here in the next little while to get it apart, take it apart, make sure everything still works good, because I'm sure I've got a little man who will enjoy that in the coming years, and I'll get to tell him the story about it. But you know, when they made train sets in our day, they weren't near as safe as they are now. I don't know if you had a train set in the 1970s, but if you did, you probably got shocked more than once by it, right? It had open wires on it, and when you were playing with it, if you weren't careful, here's the way parents, now everything is like safe, padded with foam and all that kind of stuff. Back in our day, your parents give you something critical, say, if you touch that, it's going to hurt. I mean, that's it. And so I got my eyebrows lit up several times by my Lionel Freight. I'm sure Angie will have me rob-proof it, which will be impossible. He'll probably get shocked a time or two as well, but I hope not. But we think about those things, and they're special to us. Maybe you have some special things that you have from those days that are worth more to you than it ever be to anybody else, because you knew the story behind it. You knew the sacrifice behind it. But all the gifts this world's ever been given, God gave us His best, didn't He? When He gave us His Son. We know the Scripture very well, John 3:16, that God so loved the world that He gave. The original giver, the greatest gift giver, was God the Father when He gave His only begotten Son. And this is the reason He did, that whosoever believes in Him, whosoever means you, whosoever believes in Him and on Him, shall never perish, but shall receive everlasting life. Well, I want to look in the book of James for just a little bit this morning, and I want to give you some things that God has taught me from this text. You say, you know, I've never thought about Christmas from the book of James either. But I want to tell you, the entire Scripture is all about, and you can find Christ everywhere. I believe that. I believe history, as one preacher said, is His story. It's all about Him. So we're going to look here today, and we're going to see the manifestation of how God gave His greatest gifts, and He turns His people into the giver of great gifts. First thing I want you to notice is in verse 17, and I want you to notice with me, if you will, the reservoir of gifts. Notice what the Scripture says. Every, that means all, good gift and perfect gift is from above. Now, in order to understand this, we distinguish between good gifts and perfect gifts. Good gifts are those practical gifts. Those things God gives to us that can be used practically in our life. I thank God this morning for my toothbrush. Did you? You say, no, I didn't really think about that, Brent. You're getting a little weird thanking God for your toothbrush. No, I really do, because you know where we'd be without one, right? I thank God for hot water this morning. Amen. I thank God I had some heat last night. Now, did anybody sleep outside last night just because it was a great clear night? No, I mean, you thank God for those things. Those are practical things that God gives us that He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to do those things. I thanked God that I was going to go worship Him in a building today that would be comfortable, that wouldn't be due to the elements, that the wind wouldn't be blowing through the cracks, that there'd be a padded pew for y'all to get a good little snooze on. I mean, I really thank God for just those things we often take for granted. I thank God I didn't have to walk to church this morning. It might have got a little chilly, right? I thank God that I had clothes to wear. I thank God that I had a family. Thank God for all of those things, because those are those practical gifts, but He also gives those perfect gifts, which means He gives us those gifts in abundance that we lack nothing of our need. Now, let me say this. God never promised us He'd give us everything we want. And I want you to know, a lot of things you want are not things you need. Amen? I mean, some people want stuff to the point that, you know, they will take it in their own hands and they will take it from the store. They'll take it from an individual. You know, they'll come up in your yard, in your shop, and they'll take your lawnmower. They'll take your four-wheeler. They'll take your weed eater and all that kind of stuff. They take those things that do not belong to them. And I want you to know that's not, we know that's wrong, right? You say, well, preacher, you shouldn't be so judgmental. I bet if they come up and start hauling your stuff off, you get judgmental too, amen? It's not judgmental, it's just right from wrong. He gives us those things that we need. There's nothing that we literally need that God has not provided for us. But as we look into this first, we see two things about this reservoir of gifts that I want to bring to your attention. First, we see that we're talking about an eternal creator. I don't know if you believe this or not, but I believe it with all my heart. Wasn't there, but by faith I believe it. I believe that God literally created the heavens and the earth. You say, well, that's not profound. No, there are thousands upon thousands and millions upon millions of people who do not believe that. They have this idea that the earth is millions and millions of years old. We're not going to get into geology today, but what I want to say to you is, I believe that God sovereignly and divinely created the heavens and the earth. I believe with all of my heart that he did it in 6 days, and I believe he did it according to the Genesis account of creation. Amen? He is the eternal creator. Here's what John MacArthur said about him. He said, the perfect, flawless, holy goodness of God results in his doing and giving only what reflects his perfect holiness and truth. He is the eternal creator of everything that you see. The sun, the moon, the stars, God did it. He spoke and it happened. I have no problem believing. You say, well, Brent, you weren't there, so how do you know that it happened? I believe that the Word of God is sovereignly God-breathed, God-inspired. It is breathed in the hearts of holy men. Holy men wrote down the Word that the Holy Ghost gave to them and gave us the Word of truth, which is the Word of God. Amen? No, I wasn't there when he spoke and said, let there be light, but I believe he did. I wasn't there when Jesus was crucified. I wasn't there when he was buried in a borrowed tomb. I wasn't there when he resurrected on the third day. I wasn't there when he ascended from the Mount of Olives 40 days after his resurrection. Ladies and gentlemen, I wasn't there to see him go up, but his old song says, praise God, I'll be there to see him when he comes down. Amen? So I believe that he is the eternal creator without any stammer or quiver or anything in my voice. He is the reservoir of gifts, the eternal creator. But notice the second thing. He's not just eternal creator, but he has excellent character. You say, well, I don't understand that, preacher. Some people get it mixed up. They think that character and reputation are the same thing. Reputation is what you think of me or what others think of me, whether good or bad. I mean, you might think, hey, he's a pretty good old boy, or you might think he ain't worth the salt and the tear and lower and worm dirt. That'd be the reputation you give me. But character is what God knows about me. Are you with me? Regardless of reputation from what other people do, say, or think, what God knows is eternally important. So you might think I'm lowering worm dirt and ain't worth salt and tear. That'd be your thought. That's okay. But I want you to know what matters is what God knows. And what God knew about me is I was a hopeless lost sinner in need of a Savior. I repented of my sins and trusted Him as Savior. Now I have become a son of God. Amen? So that's what matters. Well, we talk about the character of Him. Listen here. Only a holy and righteous God can be the source of good and perfect gifts. I can't provide everything you need practically, and neither can you for anyone else. I can't provide everything you need in a perfect way to make sure you're lacking nothing, but God can. When he talks about the Father of Lights, here's what that means. It's an ancient Jewish title for God, and here's what it refers to. It refers to him as creator, as the general giver of light in the form of the sun, moon, and the stars. They're saying, God made this light happen. Amen? Yeah, I remember back in, you know, when I was in school, it was a lot about evolution. It was a lot about the Big Bang. Remember that? I do. The old preacher, one country preacher one time said, I believe in the Big Bang theory. He said, God spoke and bang, it happened. Amen? Oh, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Hear me and hear me clearly today. He is the one who makes all light possible. And according to the Word of God, there is no light in the heart of a lost man without Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Are you hearing me out there today, church? Listen, there is no light apart from Jesus, but in him there's nothing but light, because there's no darkness at all. See, our Creator is one of holy character. He enables us as children of God to display his glory and his goodness to the world. Ladies and gentlemen, what you and I need to be is we need to be one who take the light of the Father of lights, and we need to shine it into the darkest parts of our world today, beginning across the street, going around the world, and taking the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we walk in the light, we have fellowship with him and one another. And because of that, a sin-filled world needs to see the light of the gospel. When there's nothing but darkness around us, when they're looking for hope everywhere in the world, there's no hope in the government, there's no hope in the Pope, ladies and gentlemen, there's no hope in any of this stuff. There is eternal hope and blessed assurance in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the light and the Savior of the entire world. Amen? Oh, I believe that today. That's a reservoir of gifts. But let's move on a little further. The reservoir of gift is no good. Excuse me. Yeah. If we don't look at the record of the giver. Look at the record of the giver. Let's move a little further. The Bible says, Jesus speaking in Matthew 7, verse 7 through 11. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? The record of the giver. Now, it's one thing to have a reservoir of gifts, but we got to look at the record behind the giver. Well, Jesus gives that real quick. He tells us, ask and it will be given. Which one of us, if our baby said, I'm hungry, would give them rocks? Which one of us, if our baby said they were hungry, instead of giving them fish, would give them a snake? No, we wouldn't do that, because we would want to give them good gifts, those things that can help them. When I think about these gifts, there's three things about gifts that I want to share with you about the record of the giver. First of all, I want to make sure I get this right. It should be 17B. First should be gifts of grace. You see that, Carla? Okay. Look at there. It's all right. It got mixed up. It got backwards then. It ain't Carla. It's a computer, right? I promise you. It's not her. That computer gives us fits all the time, so don't worry about that. Carla and Tina and Carrie and Brenda, they do a tremendous job up there, and I love them, thank them so much. Gifts of grace. Well, we know what grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. We know that what grace, as I prayed earlier, is what God gives us what we really don't deserve. It's when he gives us good, perfect, practical gifts when we don't deserve them. When I think about gifts of grace, I think about our salvation, where Ephesians 2:8 says, it's by grace through faith you say, not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. The greatest gift of grace is a personal relationship with God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. The Bible tells us in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, he says, I am the Lord and I do not change. So if he gave you the gift of grace, that gift of grace keeps on giving. Paul, speaking specifically of himself in Ephesians 3, 7, says, I became a minister of God according to the gift of grace given to me, according to the effective working of his power. Ladies and gentlemen, what I want to tell you, when we think about this record of the giver today, we've got to make sure that we understand that he gives us good grace. He gives us good grace from heaven. He gave us grace to save us, listen to me, and he gave us grace to sustain us. Wow. Not only gifts of grace, what about gifts of going? Gifts of going, that would be serving. It's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to serve because you have been saved. You ought to do that, shouldn't you? You ought to find a place of service in the body of Christ and get to work for the glory of God. It's a gift of going. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, as each one of you has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Hear me, church. God has given you a gift to be used for His glory. The gift God has given you is to be used for His glory, not for your own uplifting or not for your own purposes, but for the glory of God. Too many people have been gifted with the ability to speak and preach and have used it for their own agenda. Too many people have been gifted with beautiful voices and they just mechanically go through the motions and don't do it for the glory of God. Too many people have been gifted in a manifold number of ways in the body of Christ, and they look at it as some duty they do. They look at it as some kind of work they've got to endure instead of a walk they can enjoy. Too many Christians are enduring the work, not enjoying the walk. Y'all with me? Hey, I'll tell you something. You know, at this time of year, I heard the other day, I wasn't there because I know better. Happened to me once. I know better. This is a bad time to go to the Oxford Exchange. I mean, the day they let out of school to after Christmas, find you somewhere else to go. Now you're saying, well, the retailers won't like that very much. No, hear me. I'm not trying to take money out of nobody's pocket. I'm just telling you, if you want your sanity at Christmas... Because I know some people, they told me, I didn't say any bad words, preacher, but I wrote them down and signed my name to them. So I had people tell me it took them an hour to get from the Target parking lot to the interstate bridge. I could have walked to Heflin in that amount of time, right? No, hear me. No, here's the thing about it. Things get put to the test, and things get put behind us, but I want you to know, you can get to a point that you just endure Christmas instead of enjoy Christmas. Amen? I think about gifts of serving, and I think how grateful to God I am for so many of you who serve so faithfully, not just in this church, but beyond these walls. My good buddy John Lemons, I was listening to him preach earlier this morning. This is a thing he tells his church. He says, we got to take it from the seats to the streets. I like that, amen? Seats to the streets. We can't just be sitting on the premises when we're singing Standing on the Promises. We can't just be enjoying the good grace of God, His perfect and practical gifts that come down from the eternal Creator, the Father of lights. We can't just enjoy all those things without having a burden for those who still walk in darkness. I'm so excited for our next teams going out to Utah this next summer. Chris, how many students is it we got signed up? 11 high school students, right? 11 high school students have already taken the challenge and are signing up to go be on a mission team in Utah this summer. To God be the... Come on, you knew better than that now. Hey, to God be the glory. Now look here. That's not counting. Look, we've been partnered with Waken City since 2018, so we're coming up on 7 years here in March, and teams have gone every year, sometimes twice a year, depending on the need. And now the fires begin to spread, Ray. And these kids, we went to them and said, hey, we're going to make sure you got a real nice retreat in January and y'all got it set up. It's going to be awesome. And I appreciate Brother Chris, Ms. Tracy, and all of our student leadership. Y'all are a blessing. Thank you for all of our students. Listen to me. But what we want to encourage you to do this summer is we want to encourage you to go on a mission. And in order to go on a mission, your church is behind you to help assist you. But you're going to have to put some things into it. You're going to have to put some elbow grease into it. You're going to have to get some sweat equity into helping pay your way. So when people tell me there's no hope for the next generation, I beg to differ. I think that there will always be a remnant. Y'all hear me? God uses a remnant, and He's got a hold of hearts of these kids, and we pray that it's even more now. But right now, standing at Christmas, and they don't leave till June. Right now, we'll get plane tickets probably March, but look here. They got a few more months, and there's more kids that are going to catch the fire. And what's going to happen when those 11 come back? And they say, you're not going to believe it. Oh, I was so blessed, and God so encouraged me, and he allowed me to be on mission with him. You just got to go. Amen. Why do people cheer for the Auburn Tigers? I don't know the answer, but I'm not. But I want to tell you why. Somebody in their family or a friend influenced them wrongly. That they were going to be an Auburn fan. And they doomed you to a life of misery and contempt. No. The flesh comes in. Listen to me. Here's my point. Why do people cheer for Alabama? Because we like championships. Well, no. Somebody in their family. Do you think when my girls were born, I said, I'm just going to let you decide who you want to pull for? Oh, no. Oh, no. And I've got a second grandchild coming in July, and his or her daddy, he's one of the bad guys. And there's going to be a spiritual warfare over this, because I'm going to have to use stealth tactics, because I'm not going to be able to come out openly and just drape, 18 across the chest and, ain't never been nothing but a winner. I'm not going to be able to put any of that on this baby, because as soon as that baby goes home, it's going to be ripped off and thrown in a fire or something. I mean, these people are contemptible. But listen, I'm going to have to use some stealth tactics, and I've got a plan. But more than that, that's just all temporary. But do you know why people come to Christ? Because somebody that they know, love, and respect and admire cared enough about them to tell them about Jesus, and they respected that they were being told the truth, and that person's influence had all the stuff that went with it to bring them to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, Alabama and Auburn, that's going to pass away one day. I mean, that don't mean nothing in eternity. That's just something we enjoy here, and it means nothing. But I want you to hear me. What you do with Jesus will matter for eternity. That gift of grace is what you need. That gift of going is what you need. And you need to be a child of God who says, I will not be content to sit in the seat. I will take the gospel to the streets. Gifts of going. There's another gift. Gifts of glory. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says this, Marty. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Paul was saying the gift of Jesus Christ and the gift of eternal salvation is really indescribable. Someday, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hear me. He's going to take all his children to a brand new home in glory. The gift of knowing Jesus this side of eternity is indescribable. But can you imagine the glory of dwelling with Jesus for eternity? It's indescribable. You know why I believe that? We studied the book of Revelation. There were times, and John really kind of broke down a little bit in communication because he couldn't fully bring to light those vivid pictures of glory. That's why sometimes I believe he gives us a little glimpse of glory on this side. Ephesians chapter 2 says he's made us to sit together in heavenly places on this side, hasn't he? He really has. When I think about the things, I get some glimpses of glory along the way. There are things that happen in my life when I see people come to faith in Jesus Christ, when I see people get excited about the mission of the gospel, and I see people sacrifice time, talent, and treasure to be able to go be a part of a mission team and for it to spread to young people. Man, it gives me a glimpse of glory. But there's times even outside this house I get glimpses of glory. Many of you have been so kind, and you've prayed for us, and you've helped us through a very difficult year. Many of you have asked me about Angie this morning, and she tells me she's going to be watching me, and that gives me a lot of comfort, because I sure do miss it. She's recovering from surgery and can't be here. But every morning when that clock goes off at 5 o'clock, and I see her wake up after 20 years of dealing with autoimmune disease, and get up, and drink coffee, and get ready, and go out the door to go to work, so that we can provide together for our family and our future, I get a little glimpse of glory, Ray. When I see her open that door, and I see her sometimes, and when people deal with this stuff, they're not going to show you because they don't want to be known as whimpering and whining. because we're not whimpering and whining people. We don't complain. We don't expect you to make all of our burdens yours. We really try to be low maintenance, but the older we get, I need grease fittings on all my joints. But what I'm saying to you today is I get a little glimpse of glory when she'll just kind of wince a little bit as she gets in the car. She don't always know that I see that. But she always tells me she loves me. She always tells me she can't wait to get home to see me. And I tell her every day, I say, hey, have I told you yet today that I'm crazy about you? She'll say, no, you hadn't, but you can. I say, well, I just did, but I'm going to say it again for good measure. You say, man, you are just whooped. You right. You get whooped by the right one, you'll be all right too, buddy. Amen. That don't mean go look for another boss. Don't go out there. Most people look for a marriage that's ideal, turns into an ordeal, and they won't look for a new deal. That ain't the way to do it. I see that, and I see what a good mama my daughter Kate has become. I see how much she cares for our little man and how she'll call me, put him on FaceTime, make sure he knows me, make sure he talks to me, and I see those glimpses of glory in her, and I see the goodness, grace of God. I see that in her. I see that in him. I see that in my daughter, Brooke, who also has the same disease my wife has. She was diagnosed at 13 years old, was unable to finish playing high school sports because of something we could not control. It was so difficult, and I held her head as she cried in that doctor's office at Children's Hospital Healthcare of Atlanta. I took her to the Cheesecake Factory, anything to try to make it a little better because she loves cheesecake. I listen to her cry and I watch her, but I hear her and she'll call me on her way to work when she's going to work a 12-hour shift in the cath lab at Tanner Hospital, and she'll say, Dad, it's okay. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. It's just 12 hours. I remember when she was in nursing school, she had some of her contemporaries, some of her kids in the class with her in nursing school would say, you might as well drop out of nursing school. You'll never be able to do this job with that disease. You'll be too susceptible to catch something, and your body will not hold up. And you know what? She's got just enough of Jesus and her daddy and her. You tell me I can't do something, I'm going to show you I can climb that mountain. Amen. I get a little glimpse of glory when she hangs up the phone and says, Daddy, I'm going to work. It's going to be a good day. I get a little glimpse of glory. And I think about that baby that's to come. I get another glimpse of glory. So, Daddy, my stomach hurts a little bit today, and I'm a little nauseous, which you ladies know that's just kind of part of the course, right? She said, my stomach don't feel good. I'm really tired, Daddy, but I'm going to be okay. I just get glimpses of glory all that way. And I think about how much joy I have with Rob, and I think about Christmas coming, and I think about what it's going to be like with two of them, amen? I think what it might be like with three, four, because I want to have my quiver full, amen? And I want to take that arrow out, and I want to shoot them boys and girls in the right way, amen? I want them to land not in enemy territory where they'd be overcome. I want them to land in the rich, fertile soil of the gift, grace of God, so that when they do find themselves in enemy territory, they'll be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, he's taking us to glory, but he gives us glimpses of glory on the journey, amen? And finally, I want to share with you about the reason for giving. You ever wonder why you give? You ever wonder why he gave? Why did God give? Well, there's two things in verse 18. He gave, first of all, because of the will of the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, through the act and exercise of his own will, he brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You didn't get yourself cleaned up. Do you ever hear people say this? Preacher, I'm going to come to church when I get straightened out. Preacher, I'm not going to come to church and act like everything's all right when I'm not living for God. I'm not going to be a hypocrite, and they feel good about that statement. Ladies and gentlemen, there's only one problem with that. You don't have the ability nor the capacity to straighten yourself out. Some people wait to go to church so they do get straightened out, and they get straightened out 6 feet deep, right? No, you don't come wait till you get yourself straightened out. You don't have any ability to fix your problem. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from your sin and keep you out of hell. Amen? That's it. Oh, the psalmist David was very, very frank when he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry, and he brought me up out of a horrible pit in a miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock, and he established my goings, and he put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and put their trust in him. David said, I was the one in the pit. I was the one in the clay. But when I cried out to God, he got his hands dirty for me. He's the one that reached down in the pit and brought me out. Oh, help us. The will of the Father. But he also says it's about the worth of the first fruits. First fruits. Let's talk about those for a minute. First fruits are the best fruits, aren't they? First stuff come up. They're not just the best fruits, but they're also an indicator of what is to come. Are you with me? If a farmer has a good first fruit of his labor, he feels real good about what's behind it. It's an indicator of those things, the health of the rest of the crop. Instead of taking those first fruits and hiding them away in case it's a bad year, the Lord required him to bring those first as an offering. The first checks I write to Heflin Baptist Church. Now, I write them to Heflin Baptist Church, but I'm not giving to the church, I'm giving through the church. Are you with me? It's a check to Heflin Baptist Church out of obedience to the God who reached down in the miry pit and the clay and brought me out and set my feet on the rock. Before I pay the tax man, before I pay the mortgage, before I pay the power bill, before I pay the water bill, before I pay any of that stuff, the very first check, and you're like, these kids are like, what's a check? I'm still old school a little bit when it comes to that. I mean, we've got online giving and all these ways, and you're welcome to use whatever ways works best for you. I'm just telling you, this is what works for me. It's just a tangible way that I obediently sit down and write out to God and say, God, here is the first fruits. Here is the first 10%. Here is the tithe that is holy unto the Lord. It is not mine. It is yours. I cast my total dependence on you to provide everything I need. I don't want to give God my leftovers. I don't want to give God leftovers of the resources he gives me. I don't want to give him leftovers of my time. Because, you know, that's the most valuable resource we got, because you get 86,400 seconds a day. You can't store them up for tomorrow. You can't use them at a later date. You got to use them all today. I don't want to give him the leftovers of my time, my tithe, the talents. I don't want to give him the leftovers of those things. These first century believers, when they saw the word we in there, they got pretty fired up. You know why? Because those words gave encouragement to them that there's going to be many more that are going to follow just like you. Did y'all hear that? There's going to be many more that are going to come behind you because you are the first fruits of the kingdom. And there are going to be many more to follow who are going to have a like mind and like heart just like you, transformed by God. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know today, you are precious to God. You say, well, I don't know what's precious about me. I don't have anything to offer God. I don't look good. Lord, preacher, I don't even smell good. Preacher, I don't have anything to offer. Why would he see me as precious? Well, first of all, if you know Christ as a child of God, you've been born again. You're on your way to glory. And if you don't know him, you are worth Calvary. Let me tell you the difference Jesus makes. Several Christmases ago, when I pastored in Georgia, I had a lady in our church who liked to go around saying bad things about me. Y'all wouldn't dare know anybody like that. No. Look at it. Maybe you, I hope y'all don't do that. If you do, I'm praying for you, and I love you, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. But God taught me that principle back then. She was saying bad things and got her other people that she was influencing. And she influenced this one lady rather quickly. And I want you to know, I didn't just love both of them. I genuinely liked them. I didn't know why they didn't like me. But all of a sudden, there began to be this little coalition of the sistering. But she really worked hard on this one leg. You know what I kept doing? I just kept being me. Kept smiling. Kept talking to her. Kept telling them I loved them. Just kept being me. Didn't change who I was. And then one Christmas, this lady, I'll never forget her, sweet lady. Her name's Dondra. You don't forget names like that. But I loved her. Her sweet husband, Ronnie, went to be with the Lord while I was there. He was such a sweet guy. Dondra came down at the invitation, and she looked at me and she said, "Preacher, I've never asked you to forgive me." I said, "You don't have to." She said, "Preacher, I'm sure you knew all the awful things we were saying." I said, "Oh, yeah, I ain't gonna lie to you, I knew that." She said, "How could you keep being so nice to me?" I said, "Because I forgave you the first moment I heard what you was doing." She was shell-shocked, right? "How could you do that?" It's because I've been given the gift of grace. Because he has been forgiven much, forgives much. I've understand the gift of going and serving. I'm enlisted into the army of Jesus Christ. I believe in the gifts of glory. I'm going to glory, but I get glimpses on this side. I understand that the will of the Father, the sovereign God, brought me up out of a horrible pit. I understand that I'm part of his first fruits and I'm a recipient of what those other first fruits did. And I pray that I could be first fruits in my generation to every generation of my family follow. Now, I'm just saying, you know why I can do this? Because Jesus Christ changed my life. And she hugged me so tight. She said, "How could you ever forgive me? We were so hateful and mean." And I said, "It's okay." She said, "We didn't want you to know." I said, "Oh, I know you did." She said, "But I'm sure you did. How could you keep being so friendly to me?" I said, "It's because when Jesus changed me, he changed who I was and who I was to become. And you'll never become who God created you to be staying who you were." So here's what I want to leave you with today. How much am I worth? In 2023, they opened an auction for a vintage Babe Ruth baseball card. It was one of a collection that they thought was lost forever. They opened the auction on November, I think, 16th of 23, and the first day, the first bids came in at over $5 million. Ultimately, you know what that baseball card sold for? I wish I had it, right? $7.2 million. I don't know about y'all, but if I had $7.2 million, I would not want a Babe Ruth baseball card that bad. Am I among friends on that? I mean, none of you would do that. Even if you had $12 million, you'd say, "I'll just drop seven on Babe." No, you wouldn't do that. Now, I've got a lot of old baseball cards. I've got a bunch. It's funny now, you think, I got some from the 70s, and kids are like, "Really?" Yeah. "Wow, can I look at them?" Yeah, sure you can. I got a bunch of old baseball cards. If I find one worth $72 million, we're going to get us a new church. We're going to build, it's going to be beautiful, right? No. Why was that car worth so much? Let me tell you why, Fish. Because whose name was on it. Now, I want to go ahead and say, Fish, that if my name had been on that card, or even the great player Ewan Burgard, I don't think we'd get $7 million out of us then. Now, y'all hurting my feelings now. No. You know why we wouldn't? Because we wouldn't have the right name. As a child of God today, guess whose name you got on you? Ain't Babe Ruth. You have the name of Jesus Christ on you. That makes you worth something. Now, there's a whole world out there going to tell you, you Christians are the problem with America. You believe in the sanctity of life. You believe life begins at conception. You believe in the sanctity of marriage, one man, one woman, one man, one wife, one life. You believe in all of those things, and so you're judgmental, you're exclusive, and you're hateful, and you're not tolerant. No, 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 no. You know why I believe in those things? It's because whose name's on me. Years ago, New Song had this song called "We Wear His Name." The name above all names. In a world that's lost in hopelessness, we've been called to be the light. We wear His name. I've told you about God's greatest gifts to you. I want to encourage you to take God's greatest gift He's given to you and go give it to the world. Let's go be salt and light. Let's remember whose name's on us. Pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank You for loving us the way You do. I want to thank You for God giving us a gift that not one person in this room deserves. But that's what makes it such a special gift, is it's not what we deserve, but what through Your grace You gave us. Oh, holy God. Holy God, would You help somebody receive that gift today? Maybe some of your children today need to give away the gift. Give away the gift of forgiveness. Give away the gift of the gospel to others. Maybe just give themselves totally and completely to Your Lordship. God, today I pray lives are changed. Thank You for changing mine. Thank You for teaching me Your ways, not my own. God, save people, add to this church daily those who are being saved. And God, we'll give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you stand with me all across the house this morning? I want you to hear me, this invitation. It's for you. Not just for you, it's for you, your neighbor, and everybody around you. If God has spoke to your heart today and says, you've not received my gift of grace, you don't know me, I invite you to come on this verse. I'll be right here to help you. You can leave here today and give yourself the greatest Christmas gift you ever gave, and that's the gift of surrender, that God could give you His greatest gift, and that's a relationship with His Son. Maybe you're here today and you have other things you need to talk over with God. Maybe you want to live differently in the days ahead and you have days behind. Just come to Jesus, friend. Marty, lead us if you will. Come to Jesus.
Oh.
This verse here, I want you to take seriously that surrender part. It's easy to say it. It's another thing to live it. If you're here today and you're a child of God and you say, I'm displaced, I'm not a part of a church family, I'd like to make Heffron Baptist my home, we invite you to make that decision public today as well. We just want you to be faithful and submissive to the will of God. Really ask yourself when you say this word, Lord, am I really surrendered or am I still holding on to my way? Go ahead, Marty, when you're ready. Verses for you, friends. Sing now. Praise today. Amen, church. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you. Be seated. While the ushers are coming, I was thinking about a short video a friend sent to me this week. A man was talking. It's something to think about as going to Christmas and into the new year. He was talking about a man who came to church and his cell phone went off and that, and the preacher shamed him from the pulpit. Some people shamed him around him. He got home, people called him on the phone, friends and family knew him, that had invited him, shamed him, and he forgot to turn it on silent. That happens from time to time. I used to make a joke out of it, like tell him keep the beans warm or something, you know. But this guy really got embarrassed. He was so embarrassed, he went down the road to a local bar. He went in, he was real nervous, Rusty. He ordered a drink, and he knocked over his drink, and it spilled all over the place. He said, Lord, I'm fixing to get in trouble in here, too. I'm getting in trouble with church. I'm getting in trouble at the bar. Bartender come by and said, that's all right, friend. Took a towel out of it. I said, stuff like that happens all the time, no big deal. Some others came over and was helping him, you know, get his seat put back together and helped him get back up. Offered to buy him another drink, invited him to several other things. Just made him feel pretty good. The guy said, it's a shame when people can feel more accepted and even feel love at a bar more than they do in the house of God. You got to think about it, don't you? Really got to think about how we do that. I want you to know, I pray that our church is always a place that loves people, accepts everybody as they are, because you can't expect people to get cleaned up if you don't take them to the fish cleaner. Amen? You don't get cleaned up on your own. Bring them to Jesus. He's the one that cleans them. Amen? So I want you to know that. We just want to be the kind that makes everybody know, hey, there's nobody that's a big shot. We're all a bunch of little squirts, and we just praise God for it. Amen? So as we give today, let's give faithfully, sacrificially, and joyfully to the Lord today. It's Christmas and all kinds of stuff going on, but I pray your giving never changes or maybe even is encouraged during these times of year, as you realize what God did for us. So let's join our hearts together and ask God's blessings on our giving. Connie, I want to thank you for putting in that extra time I told you to, you know, in our practices for you to work on that special song. Oh, I love Oh Holy Night, don't you? Oh Light Divine. Well, as we dismiss today, a couple things. One, I hope all of you possibly can make it Tuesday evening at 5 for the Christmas Eve service. I trust that you will make an effort to do that. If you're going to be out of town, just know this. We love you, praying for you. It'll be live stream. Gather the family there around and say, oh, we can stop our Christmas party if y'all listen to my preacher. They'll love it. But anyhow, y'all can, there's lots of things you can do because that'll be live stream as well. But ain't nothing like being here if you can be here, okay? So be here if you possibly can. Remember that. I've asked our active deacons and their wives if they possibly can to meet me in the war room for just a few minutes after service today. Just meet with y'all for a minute before Christmas because we're doing the Lord's Supper Tuesday night, and so I'll talk with y'all about that too as well. And just remember how much I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Amen. There's still cookbooks, devotionals, all that kind of stuff, but if you're traveling this week, know we're praying for you, and just trust God, just keep us family. Go remember whose name's on you this week. Amen. Remember that gift, and it's a gift that's too good to keep to yourself. Seats of the streets, right? Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Marty's going